You can take station B3. Do you have a glove? Good. What about a helmet? Never mind. Here, take mine. I'll get another from stores. Earth strike at 14:32. Good day.
Victor took the helmet and wandered off in the direction that the small man had indicated.
Hear that, Thursday?
He hissed.
Dr. Cassiopeia.
I heard it, I replied. We're seeing what we've got on him.
Bowden was already contacting Finister, who was waiting back at the Literatech office for just such a call. Victor filled his briar pipe and was walking towards station B3 when a man in a barber jacket nearly marched straight into him. He recognised Dr. Miller's face from the mugshot immediately. Victor raised his hat, apologised, and walked on.
Wait! Yelled Muller.
Victor turned. Muller raised an eyebrow and stared at him.
Haven't I seen your face somewhere else?
No, it's always been right here on the front of my head, replied Victor, attempting to make light of the situation.
Muller simply stared at him with a blank expression as Victor carried on filling his pipe.
I've seen you somewhere before, continued Muller, but Victor was not so easily shaken. I don't think so, he announced, offering his hand. Ceres, he added. Berwick upon Tweed, spiral arm.
Berwick upon Tweed, eh? Said Muller.
Then you know my good friend and colleague, Professor Barnes.
Never heard of him, announced Victor, guessing that Muller was suspicious.
Muller smiled and looked at his watch.
Earth strike in 7 minutes, Mr. Ceres. Perhaps you'd better take your station.
Victor lit his pipe, smiled, and walked off in the direction he'd been given earlier. There was a stake in the ground marked B3, and he stood around feeling slightly stupid. All the other Earthcrossers had donned their helmets and were scanning the sky to the west. Victor looked around and caught the eye of an attractive woman of about his own age, a half dozen paces away at B2.
Hello,
he said cheerfully, tipping his helmet. The woman fluttered her eyelashes demurely.
All well? She asked.
Top hell, returned Victor elegantly, then added quickly, Actually not. This is my first time.
The lady smiled at him and waved her catcher's glove.
Nothing to it. Catch away from the body and keep your eyes sharp. We may get a lot or none at all, and if you do catch one, be sure to put it down on the grass straight away. After decelerating through the Earth's atmosphere, they tend to be a trifle hot.
Victor stared at her.
You mean we aim to catch meteors?
The lady laughed a delicious laugh.
No, silly. They're called meteorites. Meteors are things that burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. I've been to 17 of these suspected Earth strikes since 64. I once nearly caught one in Tierra del Fuego in 71. Of course, she added more slowly, that was when dear George was still alive.
She caught his eye and smiled. Victor smiled back. She carried on.
If we witness an Earth strike today, we'll be the first predicted strike in Europe to be successful. Imagine catching a meteorite. The rubble made during the creation of the universe over 4.5 billion years ago. It's like an orphan finally coming home.
Very poetic, responded Victor slowly, as I started talking in his ear by way of the wire.
There's no one listed anywhere by the name of Dr. Cassiopeia, I told him. For goodness sake, don't let him out of your sight.
I won't, replied Victor, looking around for Muller.
Pardon? Asked the lady at B2, who had been eyeing him up and not staring at the sky at all.
I won't drop one if I catch one, he replied hurriedly.
The tannoy announced the Earth strike in 2 minutes. There was a murmur from the expectant crowd.
Good luck, said the lady, giving him a broad wink and staring up into the cloudless sky.
There was a voice from close behind Victor.
I do remember you.
He turned to see the very unwelcome face of Dr. Muller staring at him. A little farther on stood a burly security guard, hand at the ready in his breast pocket.
You're Spec Ops Literatech. Victor Analogy, isn't it?
No. The name's Dr. Augustus Ceres, Berwick upon Tweed.
Victor laughed nervously and added, "What sort of a name is Victor Analogy?" Muller beckoned to the henchman, who advanced on Victor, drawing his automatic. He looked like the sort of person who was itching to use it.
"I'm sorry, my friend," said Muller kindly, "but that's not really good enough. If you are Analogy, you're clearly meddling. If, however, you turn out to be Dr. Ceres from Berwick-upon-Tweed, then you have my sincerest apologies."
"Now, wait a moment," began Victor, but Muller interrupted.
"I'll let your family know where to find the body," he said magnanimously.
Victor glanced around for possible help, but all the other Earthcrossers were staring at the sky.
"Shoot him."
The henchman smiled, his finger tightening on the trigger. Victor winced as a high-pitched scream filled the air, and a fortuitous incoming meteorite shattered on the henchman's helmet. He collapsed like a sack of potatoes. The gun went off and put a neat hole in Victor's baseball glove. Suddenly, the air was full of red-hot meteorites screaming to Earth in a localized shower. The assembled Earthcrossers were thrown into confusion by the sudden violence and couldn't quite make up their minds whether to avoid the meteorites or try to catch them. Muller fumbled in his jacket pocket for his own pistol as someone yelled, "Yours!" close at hand. They both turned, but it was Victor who caught the small meteorite. It was about the size of a cricket ball and was still glowing red-hot. He tossed it to Muller, who instinctively caught it. Sadly, he did not have a catcher's glove. There was a hiss and a yelp as he dropped it, then a cry of pain as Victor took the opportunity to thump him on the jaw with a speed that belied his 75 years. Muller went down like a ninepin, and Victor leaped on the dropped gun. He thrust it against Muller's neck, dragged him to his feet, and started to march him out of the hill fort. The meteorite shower was easing up as he backed out, my voice in his earpiece telling him to go easy.
"It is Analogy, isn't it?"
said Muller.
"It is. Spec Ops 27, and you're under arrest."
Victor, Bowden and I had got Muller as far as Interview Room 3 before Braxton and Shit realised who we had captured. Victor had barely asked Muller to confirm his name before the interview room door burst open. It was Shit, flanked by 2 SO9 operatives. None of them looked like they had a sense of humour.
"My prisoner, Analogy." "My prisoner, Mr. Shit, I think," replied Victor firmly. "My collar, my jurisdiction. I am interviewing Dr. Muller about the Chuzzlewit theft."
Jack Shit looked at Commander Hicks, who was standing behind him. The commander sighed and cleared his throat.
"I'm sorry to say this, Victor, but the Goliath Corporation and their representative have been granted jurisdiction over SO-27 and SO-9 in Swindon. Withholding material from Acting Spec Ops Commander Shit may result in criminal proceedings for concealment of vital information pertinent to an ongoing inquiry. Do you understand what this means?"
"It means Shit does what he pleases," returned Victor.
"Relinquish your prisoner, Victor. The Goliath Corporation takes precedence."
Victor stared at him hotly, then pushed his way out of the interview room.
"I'd like to stay," I requested.
"No chance," said Shit. "An SO-27 security clearance is not permissible."
"It's as well, then," I replied, "that I still hold an SO-5 badge."
Jack Shit cursed, but said nothing more. Bowden was ordered out, and the 2 SO-9 operatives stood either side of the door. Shit and Hicks sat down at the table, behind which Muller nonchalantly smoked a cigarette. I leaned against the wall and impassively watched the proceedings.
"He'll get me out, you know," Muller said slowly as he smiled a rare smile. "I don't think so," remarked Shit. "Swindon Spec Ops is currently surrounded by more SO-9 operatives and SWAT men than you can count in a month. Not even that madman Hades would try and get in here."
The smile dropped from Muller's lips.
"SO-9 is the finest anti-terrorist squad on the planet," continued Shit. "We'll get him, you know. It's only a question of when. And if you help us, things might not look so bad in court for you."
Muller wasn't impressed.
"If your SO-9 operatives are the best on the planet, how come it takes a 75-year-old literatech to arrest me?"
Jack Shit couldn't think of an answer to this. Muller turned to me.
"An if SO9 are so shit-hot, why does this young lady have the best luck cornering Hades?
I got lucky, I replied, adding, why hasn't Martin Chuzzlewit been killed? It's not like Acheron to make idle threats.
No, indeed, replied Müller.
No, indeed.
Answer the question, Müller, said Shit pointedly. I can make things very uncomfortable for you.
Müller smiled at him.
Not half as uncomfortable as Acheron could. He lists slow murder, torture, and flower arranging as his hobbies in Witch Criminal.
So you want to do some serious time?
Asked Hicks, who wasn't going to be left out of the interview.
The way I see it, you're looking at quintuple life. Or you could walk free in a couple of minutes. What's it to be?
Do as you will, officers. You'll get nothing out of me. No matter what, Hades will get me out.
Müller folded his arms and leaned back in the chair. There was a pause. Shit bent forward and switched off the tape recorder. He pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket and draped it across the video camera in the corner of the interview room. Hicks and I looked at one another nervously. Müller watched the proceedings, but didn't seem unduly alarmed.
Let's try it again, said Shit,
pulling out his automatic and pointing it at Müller's shoulder.
Where is Hades?
Müller looked at him.
You can kill me now, or Hades kills me later when he finds I've talked. I'm dead either way, and your death is probably a great deal less painful than Acheron's. I've seen him at work. You wouldn't believe what he is capable of.
I would, I said slowly. Shit released the safety on his automatic.
I'll count to three.
I can't tell you.
One.
He'd kill me.
Two.
I took my cue.
We can offer you protective custody.
From him? Demanded Müller. Are you completely nuts?
Three.
Müller closed his eyes and started to shake. Shit put the gun down. This wasn't going to work. Suddenly, I had a thought.
He doesn't have the manuscript any more, does he?
Müller opened an eye and looked at me. It was the sign I'd been looking for.
Mycroft destroyed it, didn't he?
I continued, reasoning as my uncle might have, and did.
Is that what happened?
Asked Jack Shit. Müller said nothing.
He'll be wanting to find an alternative, observed Hicks. There must be thousands of original manuscripts out there,
murmured Shit.
We can't cover them all. Which one is he after?
I can't tell you, stuttered Müller, his resolve beginning to leave him. He'd kill me.
He'll kill you when he finds out you told us that Mycroft destroyed the Chuzzlewit manuscript,
I responded evenly.
But I didn't.
He's not to know. We can protect you, Müller, but we need to capture Hades. Where is he?
Müller looked at us one by one.
Protective custody?
He stammered.
It'll need a small army.
I can supply that,
asserted Shit, using the truth with an economy for which he had become famous.
The Goliath Corporation is prepared to be generous in this matter.
Okay, I'll tell you.
He looked at us all and wiped his brow, which had suddenly started to glisten.
Isn't it a bit hot in here?
He asked.
No,
replied Shit.
Where's Hades?
Well, he's at the...
He suddenly stopped talking, his face contorted with fear as a violent spasm of pain hit his lower back, and he cried out in agony.
Tell us, quick!
Shouted Shit, leaping to his feet and grabbing the stricken man's lapels.
Benderin!
He screamed.
He's at...
Tell us more!
Roared Shit.
There must be 1,000 Penderins!
Guess! Screamed Müller. Guess! Ah!
I'll not play your games!
Yelled Shit, shaking the man vigorously.
Tell me, or I'll kill you with my bare hands right now!
But Müller was now beyond rational thought or Shit's threats. He squirmed and fell to the floor, writhing in agony.
Medic!
I screamed, dropping to the floor next to the convulsing Müller, whose open mouth screamed a silent scream as his eyes rolled up into his head. The smell of scorched clothes reached my nostrils. I leaped back as a bright orange flame shot out of Müller's back.
It ignited the rest of him, and we